The KJS Show, Sundays on Kofifi FM 97.2.
Today on the KJS Show, we have the privilege of speaking with one of the most exciting young voices in the jazz world. Pianist Sean Mason hails from Charlotte, North Carolina, and his musical journey has taken him from the soulful heart of the South to the bustling streets of New York City, where he is now a staple in the city's vibrant jazz scene. He's had the honor of playing alongside jazz legends, and his story is one of passion, perseverance, and a deep-rooted connection to his Southern roots. And it was in 2023 where he released his highly anticipated project, The Southern Suite, a musical exploration of the beauty and complexity of his upbringing. And the project blends modern jazz with elements of classical and Southern soul, showcasing Sean's ability, you know, to create compositions that are both deeply personal and universally resonant. Sean has also grabbed the attention for his collaboration with the incredible vocalist Catherine Russell on the Grammy-nominated project My Ideal, and it is a beautiful mix of classic jazz and timeless vocal stylings. And of course, we are lucky to dive deeper into this project today with him as well. Of course, Kofifi FM, please help me welcome Sean Mason.
Thank you for having me.
Pleasure. Thank you for joining us and welcome to South Africa. You know, let's start from the beginning. You grew up in Charlotte, North Carolina. Let's talk about how that environment shaped your musical journey, you know, especially when it comes to jazz.
Well, I grew up in a household that played music all of the time. And that was incredible. Now, most of the music, of course, was not jazz. It was funk and soul music from the 70s. Right, so we're talking about P-Funk, you know, we're talking about Earth, Wind & Fire, we're talking about all those kind of people. And that was the spirit and the soul that I grew up in. I also grew up listening to Ray Charles. Ray Charles was like the bridge of all of these different kinds of music. And he internalized them all the way from country to the low-down gut bucket blues, you know, down in Georgia, down in the South. He was able to internalize all that, including popular styles, and kind of put that all into one sound. He was a bridge. And then my grandmother, she loved Duke Ellington. But I didn't really care much about jazz as a teenager. Because everybody in my, you know, when I was growing up, everybody listened to hip hop. That was just what everybody listened to. So to listen to jazz, you had to be really confident with yourself to listen to jazz, because nobody was going to be on that with you. So you had no friends. You couldn't vibe, you couldn't do anything with any kind of friends, because ain't nobody listening to jazz with you. If anything, they're going to make fun of you for listening to jazz. And so you really have to be confident within yourself to try to come out in that kind of high school, middle school environment that I grew up in, you know, in some of the we call it the hood in Charlotte. You had to be really sure of yourself to be able to do that. But it was something about the music that called me. And I remember listening to jazz all throughout high school with my headphones in, people making fun of me. What is that? That's a trumpet, man. What you listening to, man? You know, it's funny. I see some of those cats now, they laugh. You know, they're like, oh, I guess you was on. But it always happens like that. But there was a calling within my spirit to listen to this music and to dive deeper into it. And so in Charlotte, I was surrounded around some great education. There was an organization called Jazz Arts Charlotte that I joined, and that was really helpful. And then I played in church in my upbringing, and that kind of helped the gospel side of the playing, and helped that soul kind of enter into my spirit, and for me to have an open-mindedness to hear all kinds of music. And so growing up in the South helped instill this ephemeral blues sound that is really hard to put words into, this deep down country, low country sound. It's hard to put that in words, but growing up there, I was able to embody it through lifestyle. And then through lifestyle, I was able to translate that lifestyle into sound.
And I'm just thinking, as you're speaking, you know, your family's musical background, you know, specifically around gospel and the blues. I want to talk about, or maybe talk to us about how, you know, those two genres, I guess, influenced your approach now to playing jazz. And how did you then weave them into this contemporary sound of today?
Well, they're like two sides of the same coin, I'd say. Marketing-wise, especially back in the 20s and 30s, you know, one was secular and then one was spiritual. But it's interesting, you know, from a sound-wise, there was a lot that could tell them apart lyrically, but they were dealing with a lot of the same kinds of sounds, except Ma Rainey was singing about how I don't like my husband and I'm gonna shoot him, where, you know, other people were singing about, you know, we need to give praise to the Lord. So the lyrics, of course, were different, and the cultural socialization around those two forms were different. Mm. The black folk, like, they pioneered both of those in the South, right? And so I think those two styles for me were the roots of the jazz music I was listening to when I came up. And I was able to draw a huge connection and feel assured that I can bring that influence into the music. Because that's one thing, like, it's one thing to be able to hear it. It's another thing to have enough confidence and feel assured that you can bring your roots in the blues and in gospel into this music called jazz. Because if you hear most jazz, it is lacking the blues and it is lacking this gospel feeling that I grew up with. And so for me to build that confidence, to be able to put that in there, was an artistic statement that I definitely wanted to make.
You know, having eventually made your way now, you know, to New York City, I want to talk about the transition and what that was like. I mean, you were coming from Charlotte and with its own distinct, I suppose, jazz sound, and you arrive in New York City, you know, the jazz mecca of the world. What was that like, you know, that learning curve when you first touched down?
It was great. I'm happy that I went to school. So I went to Juilliard there. And when you go to school in New York, you're automatically ingrained in the community. And that was very, very helpful. Moving there on your own with no community can be very difficult to meet people, because your only options are to go to jam sessions. And that's quite honestly a dying art form these days. It's not like the jam sessions of Charlie Parker in the 40s, right? It's just a completely different culture. It's more soft. I mean, we see that trend in every aspect of the world, including politics. Everything's so soft now. So jam sessions are really soft. You can't really say much to people. You have to be very sensitive to other people. And so I think that's great, you know, but it lost a bit of that rough edge that we know of in these jam sessions back in the 40s and 50s. And so going to Juilliard and meeting those people that I went to school with, most of them are doing very, very well and, you know, crushing it in the jazz scene. And we all kind of stayed together in that. And that helped me out a lot. Mm. And yeah, I started working as soon as I got to New York, and I started playing as a sideman in all kinds of music. My first gig was a Lindy Hop gig. So I was entrenched early into the 1920s and 1930s trad jazz movement. And that whole Lindy Hop scene, which I knew nothing about, where the people dance to the music and they really recreate that 1920s and 30s jazz feeling of dancing in the ballroom. That was my very first gig in a ballroom in New York. And so I played those kind of gigs. I played the modern jazz gigs. I played everything in between. And having that diverse experience of playing with everybody, from singers to instrumentalists, and even non-jazz genres, is playing different R&B gigs, playing at churches when I went to New York, churches in the Bronx, churches in Brooklyn. Those experiences really helped shape eventually what was going to be called the Southern Suite and that melting pot of different influences.
Kofifi FM, we are joined by pianist and composer Sean Mason the Sunday, and he is our musical guest, you know, for a weekly Pace 3 feature here on Kofifi FM 97.2. Now, Sean, your musical journey, I suppose, has been influenced by jazz greats like Branford Marsalis, who is known for his powerful and lyrical playing and his, of course, deep connection to tradition. Let's reflect on this connection with Branford and yourself, and how this work, or his work anyway, you know, has shaped your approach to jazz.
Branford is a great mentor of mine, and I've learned so much from him in a lot of different verticals of life. And I'm very thankful to him and the wisdom that he's bestowed upon me throughout the years. Musically, he's able to embody what it means to be an artist and what it means to be a human and what it means to communicate that message to everyday people, which is a very rare trait. His music is very accessible to everyday people. It is also very accessible to musicians, because musicians are listening for a different thing than are everyday people. Musicians are listening for a certain kind of intellectualism that spikes their interest and is able to keep them involved in listening, whether the everyday person is listening for a completely different thing. They're listening for music that overall makes their state of being improve by the time the song is over. And so the bar is completely different, because we're talking about an emotional bar for normal everyday people, and we're talking about an intellectual bar for musicians. Branford is able to really focus on that emotional bar and at the same time be regarded as one of the greatest saxophonists we've ever seen, because of his dedication to the instrument, his dedication to the craft, both in jazz and classical. I'm very grateful for him.
Wonderful. Of course, you know, I want us to go back a little bit and unpack, you know, the Southern Suite, because I think there's still something there that I really want to tap into. You know, of course, the project itself is very deeply personal and reflects these roots that you've already explained, the Southern roots. Take us through the creative process. You know, what was that particular story or feeling, maybe, that you wanted to capture with your compositions?
It was a feeling of home. And I wanted people to feel like they took a plane or took a train down to the South. And it doesn't have to be North Carolina. That's why it's called the Southern Suite, somewhere in the South. And experience that feeling of home that I feel every time I go back home. This warmth. And home means different, of course, for different people. And I wanted this album to feel very, very, very warm. And that Southern hospitality you get. That, hey, baby, how you doing? That hug. That, yeah, okay, yeah, that kind of vibe that you get in the South, where everybody's, you know, we out there eating. We outside eating, we talking, we doing the whole thing. And it's a Southern affair. Hospitality, thank you, yes ma'am, no ma'am, that whole vibe. I wanted the whole album to encapsulate all of that, and I wanted it to feel youthful, right? Yeah. I wanted it to feel like one of those family reunions you go to as a youth, and the uncles are tripping out, you know, sitting on the cooler, you know, that whole thing. I wanted it to have that vibe where everybody's, you know, mom's passing around some stuff you may not be wanting to drink, you know, that kind of vibe in the South. And there's nothing but bugs, you know, it's like the summer, bees, bugs all over you, like, ah, God, you know, it's terrible. And I wanted it to feel like like that kind of feeling. Every song, I wanted to take you through the journey in our jazz language of like, this is what the Southern Suite feels like, all in its complexities, because there's a lot of complexities there. Of course, life ain't all up, you know. There's some complexities. There's some trauma that we got down south that we always holding on to. Every day we holding on to some trauma down in the south. So it's this complexity. It's this beautiful dichotomy of this uplifting spirit, which I think is the essence of the blues, resilience.
Thank you.
hanging out with Sean Mason this Sunday, and we're talking about all things music and all things jazz. And of course, he's just unpacking the Southern experience, the Southern American experience. Anyway, you know, we have a whole different version of the South African experience, which we will get to into maybe another time. But I want to, you know, talk about some of the collaborators, you know, that you worked with on the Southern Suite.
So the band is, it's our working band. We've got Chris Lewis on the tenor saxophone, Tony Glauson on the trumpet, Felix Moles home on the bass. We've got Damo Branch on the drum. These are all incredible musicians. Two of them I met at Juilliard. Chris and Felix I met at Juilliard. Tony I met out in the scene in New York, and then Damo I met out in the scene. What an incredible group of guys. Everybody brings something so different, and they're all different than each other. Tony brings this sensibility, this almost sensual approach to playing the piano. Very intimate, very emotional. He brings a soft sensibility to the music. Chris brings the exact opposite, this macho, masculine, alpha-like energy to the tenor saxophone. And so they both contrast each other very, very well. And then Felix holds everything down, but in a very soft, almost grandfatherly way, right? He really holds things down on the bass. And then Damo has two sides of him. He's almost like a classical percussionist in the way he's able to use textures to make the sounds feel very good. But he also has this rough edge with him about playing the drums. And that comes across very well in the recordings, where he's able to really, really understand the essence of a groove, make every groove make you want to get out your seat and dance. And so we have this really great mix of people that both bring the yin and the yang and the yin and the yang. Here I am in the middle, bringing everybody together. You know.
Oh man, and ever so beautifully, ever so wonderfully, incredible project has been on high rotation for a while now. And of course, we've been sharing this album, Kofifi FM, with you alongside many other conversations here on Kofifi FM 97.2. Now, speaking of collaborations, Sean, your Grammy nominated project with Catherine Russell, My Ideal, is a standout. Of course, firstly, congratulations for the nomination. Let's talk about how, you know, you two came together. You know,
I met Kat. We all call her Kat. I met Kat in, I'd say 2019. So a year moving to New York. I moved to New York in 2018. So I met her in 2019 at a performance series that Jazz at Lincoln Center put together, where we were doing the music of Danny Barker, who was an old New Orleans musician. And we were doing a tribute to his music, and Catherine was on the bill. And there were some other people on the bill. Herlin Riley on drums was on the bill. Shannon Powell was on the bill. Really great musicians. And it was musical directed by Dr. Michael White, clarinet is back in New Orleans. And I met Kat there. And I think she took a liking to my playing. And she decided to call me for some gigs. That turned into me joining her band. And then that turned into us deciding to do a duo album. And she wanted to do a duo album, and I was like, of course, let's do a duo album. And we went to the studio, we laid down the tracks, and we're very happy with what we were able to put down, because it was a mix of that elder-like figure that Catherine brings, and that regalness with the youthful vigor that is where I am in the state of life that I am. And we both have a shared connection and affinity for older kinds of music. But I also, and she also has an affinity for newer types of music, as she tours with Steely Dan and all kind of other artists, especially in the rock genre. And I love modern music as well. But we both have a special place in our heart for old classic music, especially music from the blues tradition. She loves to sing those dirty, swanky, bad mouth lyric blueses, you know, that have these words that make you just laugh. Every time we do them, the audience just cracks up and just laughs. And she loves that kind of music. I love that music. And so we came together with that shared hit and put this album out.
Will I ever find the man in my mind? The one who is my ideal. Maybe he's a dream, and yet he might be just around the corner waiting for me. Will recognize the light in his eyes that no other eyes reveal? Or will I pass him by and never even know that he was my ID?
Now that you have been recognized, you know, with a Grammy nomination for this project, especially, you know, as a rising star in the jazz world, Sean, what does this mean to you, you know, both personally and professionally?
Well, it's definitely something I'm proud of to be nominated for this Grammy. We'll see what happens in a couple of weeks when the results come in. But just the nomination is enough for me to be grateful for, because I try to be grateful for everything that comes in. And grateful for life itself. So it's something I'm extremely proud of and very grateful for. I unfortunately won't be going, or Kat won't be going, because of the fires in LA, and it's kind of messing up the whole scene. So we send our well wishes to those people dealing with those wildfires in LA. But nonetheless, I am very grateful for the opportunity to be recognized for the album. We put a lot of hard work into the album, and it feels great to be recognized for it.
Incredible, of course, and all the best, yes, with the nomination. And yes, as you say, just to be nominated is enough, is a nod in the right direction. And as you look forward, you know, and look to the future anyway, you know, what are you most excited about musically, Sean? You know, are there any particular projects that or collaborations, again, or directions you're hoping to explore next?
I have an album coming out this summer. So this will be the sophomore album to the Southern Sweet, same band. And I just want to jump up and down of how excited I am about how the music sounds. It sounds incredible. The band is incredible. Again, all original compositions. And I am so, so, so excited to put that out into the world. So to answer your question, I'm answering it with enthusiasm. We're really excited to we're gearing up, you know, all the things we got to gear up to be able to put this album out. I'm really excited to put this next album out. So stay tuned. Truly.
Well, if you could give us a sneak peek, Sean, you know, into this album, what is this one about? And what do we call it this time?
I don't know if I'm ready.
Okay, no, that's fine. We'll wait for we'll have another conversation when you come around and you'll tell us about that version of things. On the K-Jazz Show. Of course, it's been an absolute pleasure, you know, talking with you today. And of course, congratulations again between to you and Kat. Anyway, you know, on your well-deserved Grammy nomination for My Ideal, and we're so excited. Anyway, you know, to see what's coming up for you, and we wish you continued success, you know, with the Southern Sweet and the future project that we cannot name yet. And of course, thank you again for joining us this Sunday.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
Best of luck, man. Of course, he is Sean Mason. He's a pianist, composer, and all-around collaborator. Of course, and he was on the K-Jazz Show.